Blog Talk Radio.
Not a 90s throwback hip hop show. This is Scott Burks coming at you with the Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with K. And you can find me at theclowntimes.net on the web. Just do a URL for www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me also on Facebook. Just do a search for the Clown Times. Again, that's Clown with K. Excuse me, you'll be able to find me. This is going to be a very special short and sweet podcast, mainly because if you all recall about my last podcast this past Thursday, we had technical difficulties with my man Jason Harrison. He's a fellow NC State alum, and we were going to talk NC State and ACC football last week, but again, Murphy's Law took over the podcast, so we had to reschedule it. And by the way, Jason is in the midst of his fantasy football draft, so he may be able to join us, and he may not, but I'm so pumped right now. I'm just going to fly through this because even though we went 1-2 against a big, badass SEC, and even though we, in a couple of those games, the ACC didn't look all that great, but on the strength of Clemson beating Georgia alone, I got to say, ACC, ACC. ACC, damn it, that's right, ACC represented, Clemson represented, you know, so I was very happy about that, and also, Virginia beat a very good BYU team over the weekend as well. You know, Virginia rallied late in the game to win 19-16 over BYU, so all in all, not a bad weekend, you know, out of conference style. Major out of conference contest, rather, for the ACC. And also, you know, you got to give props to the rest of the ACC for winning, you know, my alma mater, NC State, Maryland, Wake Forest, Duke, Georgia Tech, spanking Elon 70-0, crying out loud. You know, albeit most of those were against FCS opponents, or in NC State's case, a lowly Louisiana Tech team that lost two-thirds of its starting 22 from last season and its coach as well. And all in all, a decent showing for the ACC. Now, you may be asking, actually probably asking, Clown Boy, why in the hell are you making such a big deal about those wins against FCS schools and lowly Division I schools? Well, it's because that given the what happened to other major conferences who lost to FCS schools, i.e., Oregon State losing at home to Eastern Washington, also Kansas State found a way to lose to North Dakota State, and that's all I can think of off the top of my head. But oh yeah, Northern Iowa beating Iowa, you know. Oh, no, I must say that the ACC did pretty doggone well for themselves. I mean, can't you hear the pundits now if, say, like Boston College lost to Villanova? And speaking of which, that was one hell of a trick play that Villanova ran. You know, if you hadn't seen the fake punt that Villanova ran on Boston College, you all might want to go to YouTube and search for it. It was that great. But anyway, Jason just joined. So, Jason, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm here. So I'm in the way.
Oh, don't worry. So, did you get a good fantasy draft, or Did you come up snake eyes?
Oh, yeah. My fantasy draft, it went okay. I mean, I think it was a little bit above average, or it started off that way, and then the whole wheel fell apart towards the end. But I think I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. We'll just see how it plays out as the season progresses. First pick of the draft I got, LeSean McCoy, and then got Brandon Marshall with the second pick there. That looked pretty good. Got Drew Brees on my third pick, so now I'm thinking everything's pretty nice. And then, like I said, after that one, I got Marcus Colston and then Wes Welker. So
man,
you
did pretty well.
Yeah, that was a pretty strong first five picks, in my opinion. But then, you know, I took some flyers on some people. Like the sixth pick, you know, San Francisco. Well, no, I didn't get San Francisco's defense at six. I got them at seven. Six, I picked up. Oh, who was that? Oh, Frank Gore. Then I got San Francisco's defense. And then I started taking flyers on people. Right, I got Emmanuel Sanders at eight, and then Joy Bell, the running back out of Denver. Not Denver, Detroit. He's the backup running back there. And then the wide receiver for the Seahawks that's suspended for the first four games.
That's a flyer for you.
Yeah, Blackman, I took a flyer on him. And then I think that was pretty much. Oh, I had forgotten, like, in pick like 12 or 13, something like that. I forgot that that San Francisco wide receiver is ACL tear, and he's pretty much out for the season. So
Crabtree.
About that, and I picked him up. Yeah, Crabtree.
Okay.
I forgot he's done.
Oops.
But I still picked him up anyway. That was a waste of a pick, but. In round 13 or 14, it didn't really matter. And then I picked up a kicker, like random kicker X,
right,
as my last pick. Because you should never, ever take a kicker higher than your last pick.
Well, that's true, because you don't get for so many points. But in my league, in my case, man, I learned a lesson. Valuable lesson.
Okay.
Never do another auto draft pick, auto draft draft. I ranked all my players. Why is it that my first quarterback taken, drafted to me, was Carson Palmer? Why was that? Why is Carson Palmer my quarterback, my starting quarterback?
Because everybody ran on quarterbacks sooner than you expected.
I guess so. I mean, I'm like, God damn. I mean, I looked at my roster. The only guy on my team that's of consequence is Adrian Peterson. Other than that, I mean, my defensive team, I didn't know who the hell it was. I mean, at that point, I just hung my head in shame. I said, the hell with this shit.
At that point, you just took your tail between your legs, and you said, maybe I'll get it next year.
Right, and that's when I started scouring the damn waiver wire. So I'm waiver wire guy for at least the next few days, but... Anyway, I don't want to get too depressed because this is supposed to be an FP podcast. So I was saying, I was going along in my little monologue, so to speak, about how the ACC did over the weekend. I mean, sure, we lost 2 of 3 to the big, bad ACC. Granted, two of those games that weren't supposed to win anyway, to be honest with you.
Of course.
The Carolina game and, of course, Virginia Tech against Alabama. But I loved how Clemson represented. I love the fact that they hung with Georgia. Georgia's easily the second best team in the SEC. So, you know, in that respect, having Clemson supposed to be one of the two best in the ACC, if not the best, that had to be a great weekend. And coupled that with Virginia beating BYU, a good BYU team, I think it was a pretty decent weekend for the ACC.
I mean, it was solid. It was a solid start for the ACC right there. Clemson being ranked number four, I mean, that hasn't happened in 20-some-odd years. So,
right.
Big shout-out to Todd Boyd and the streaker, Mr. Sammy over there.
Oh, I love that. I love that guy. Love that long, that 77-yard pass to catch and run. I loved it. Loved it.
So I really am going to look forward to that Clemson-Florida State game. That has a potential to be not just two top 10 teams going at each other, but two undefeated teams going at each other. Unless, you know, NC State pulls off the upset.
I hope not. I love NC State. I love Alabama. But we don't need them to fuck up a good thing yet again. We don't need that.
That would be hilarious. Clemson's going to be three or four when they come into town. And we got them at home.
Right, I know. You know, the Textile Bowl. Yeah, that's the third week? I forgot.
Third week.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was coming up soon. So, we don't need for our alma mater to fuck things up. They can win the rest of their games, just not those two games. Just not Clemson and Florida State. We need those games for the league. The league needs those games. So, you keep the eight games at home. Basically, speaking of Florida State, how about Famous Jameis? Famous freaking Jameis. How about that? How about that, Cat? I know it's one game.
He caught everybody by surprise except his girlfriend, who, tweeted about that stuff. I saw that little article out on the web earlier today. But, it's a really positive sign for FSU to have him inserted into the lineup and do, amazing things like he's doing.
Yeah, dude missed only two passes, one which should have been completed, but it was a bad call. But dude went 25 or 27 for 300 plus yards, man.
And yards on top of that.
Yeah. I mean, he just as a redshirt freshman, dude just rolled up in there and just did it to what I thought was last year was a good Pitt defense, but maybe. I don't know if the fact that Pitt is going to be that bad or the fact that Florida State and Famous Jameis, may be that good.
Right. I mean, we will see. Time will tell. I mean, you never want to go so hard on a freshman. I mean, Johnny Manziel excluded. You get the highs and the lows with those guys.
Right. Of course. And there'll be some games where, every quarterback has a bad game or football game. It just happens on the highest level. It just happens.
Of course,
That's why I don't get involved with all those damn ESPN Heisman watches after week one and panicking this and that. I mean, come on. It's a marathon. It's only one freaking game. It just drives me crazy when ESPN does that. And others. Especially ESPN.
I mean, ESPN is just a reflection of the AP voting block, right? I mean, sad to say, but a lot of voters don't watch all the games. And so whatever the talking heads on ESPN today, a lot of that seeps into the mindset of the people that place the votes. And, if you've got, a USC team, for example, that loses their first game, and all of a sudden now they're in quote-unquote panic mode, according to the pundits. If they lose another game, they might get written off completely.
Right. And that's the thing. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to sit back, enjoy it. It's all going to play out regardless, right, in the end. But I'm pretty damn pumped. As an ACC guy, I know you as an ACC guy is pumped as well, I should say. I love the Virginia game, even though it didn't get as much press for obvious reasons, right? But I like the way that, UVA was a terrible team last year. But the way they fought and clawed against what I think is going to be a decent BRU team, the way they did, I know they're probably not going to beat Oregon next weekend. I know I'm not that delusional. But I just like the way Virginia fought, and I think Virginia may not be but so bad this year.
I mean, it's with Virginia there, I want to get excited for them, just like you know, to me, they're kind of like a Boston College in that you see them, you want to get excited for them. They start off, like, you know, showing signs of promise, and then somewhere around mid-season, the wheels fall off the bus, and they go like, the toilet pretty quickly. So I'd like to see them sustain that momentum. I'd like to see them, like, you know, at least get bowl eligible. That would be a big deal, I think, out there in Charlottesville.
Yes, I think it would be, too. And I think that would save Mike London's job.
Oh, yeah. It very well should. I mean, at least for a year or two, it'd give him a little bit of a reprieve.
Right.
But, you know, what else would be a big deal? Another big deal would be if Duke starts off 2-0.
Right. I think they could. They're playing Memphis this weekend. Memphis is terrible, even though it's on the road. I think Duke could easily go 2-0.
They kind of front-loaded their schedule with a bunch of suckers, so.
Well, you know what? I think Duke has to get off to a good start because it's backloaded with, you know, Carolina, Pitt, Vitek, Virginia, you know. And, you know, Wake should be okay this year. So, you know, Duke definitely needs a good fast start just like last season. And go off to that good start.
That should be interesting. Like, you know, they're a tough team to figure out because watching that game against Central, I really wasn't getting a good feel for what that team is about yet.
Right.
So,
right. I mean, you can't really tell until they play that first game against a fellow D1 opponent, right? FBS opponent. And I think Memphis is going to be that first opponent. Like I said, even though Memphis is terrible, you know, it's a road game for Duke. So if Duke responds the way I think they should respond under David Cutcliffe, who has done wonders for that program, by the way, wonders for the
Duke
program.
Oh, my God. Talk about a transformation.
Yes, six. I mean, getting the bowl to a bowl game last year was nothing short of miraculous. And they're on the way up. They're upticking. They're upticking slowly but surely. And David, because Cutcliffe, the end of that in itself, it's a freaking stud, right? But you know, the thing is you know, the Coastal Division is up for grabs, and this is Duke's time to shine. I mean, if they want to get bowl eligible and then some this season, they really got to start off well and hopefully finish just a tad bit better than they did last season. But speaking of teams in the triangle, what do you take away from NC State's win over a depleted and undermanned Louisiana Tech team?
Yeah, see, that's the thing right there. You hit the nail right on the head, depleted and undermanned. So,
yes.
You know, the end result was pretty much what I expected. I did like some of those offensive signs that we had there. I didn't like the kind of mobile quarterback that we have. God, what is his name? Brandon, I believe.
Yeah,
He went down.
Yeah.
Yeah, went down with looked like a pretty serious foot injury there. So,
coming out 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah.
Yep. So that kind of takes away a couple of finesse wrinkles out of Dorn's playbook. You know, having a mobile quarterback that can beat you with his arm and his feet is always a good thing. It's kind of like what he had over there at NIU. Not to say that the other quarterback, I mean, it was pretty neck and neck during preseason from what I understand. He's just more of a drop-back passer. So, you know, you lose a little bit of that versatility. Maybe some of that trickeration that you had planned.
Right.
And having a mobile quarterback helps the running game because we were, kind of disappointing in some of those short yardage situations how we couldn't just hand it out to Tony Creasy and just smash somebody's mouth in. We really didn't start getting those third and shorts consistently until we started, like, running those little flare patterns and, you know, fullbacks in the flat kind of thing.
So do you think that's going to cause a little concern for the running game, like in third and short yardage situations where, you know, or in the case where we want to close the game and can't run out the clock because we can't sustain a consistent ground game?
If we're ahead, or like, you know, we're in a tight ball game with the ball, and say 7 minutes to go, we get the ball on our 30. That's when you're supposed to have one of those, like, put your foot down on your opponent's throat kind of games where you just eat the clock and then you go home with the W. But without a solid running game, you can't really do that. You got to kind of do some sort of a West Coast offense shenanigans.
Okay, gotcha. Well, you know, I want to throw a curve a little bit, and and talk about, well, basically, which I should have brought up earlier was, and I was going to bring up to you last week, was ACC realignment. Now, it's funny how we have all these good vibes about the ACC this season, especially as pertains to football. You know, Maryland, you know, bailing out on us because they want to get paid, and the fact that they want the Big Ten to help them correct the financial fuck-ups in the athletic department, you know. I mean, how wild is that, right? But
that was pretty crazy.
I mean, the thing is I have to love them being replaced by Louisville. I mean, I have to love that.
I mean, from a realignment perspective, overall, we gained so much more than we lost. It's not even funny.
Right.
Adding Louisville to the mix. Not only, I mean, like, it makes basketball a joke. Like, you know, ACC is just going to be so incredibly dominant in basketball. It's going to be, like, you know, 8-9 at-large spots now that the Big East is no more. So that's going to be kind of crazy, number one. Number two, as far as football goes, we gave up kind of mid to bottom mid-tier team in Maryland and picked up a pretty on-the-rise Louisville. Now, I mean, Charlie goes away when Louisville comes in, but I got to believe that they can reload and not just, you know, fall off the cliff kind of like how Boise State and TCU did.
Right, exactly. I mean, you got to love that. I mean, the thing is, watching Louisville just curb stomp the hell out of Florida in the Sugar Bowl last season, I should say, and, you know, the fact that, I mean, they may not have Teddy Bridgewater after this year, but you got to love the fact that Charlie Strong is still there. He recruits like a mother. I mean, I know he has a backup plan in case Bridgewater does leave. But can you imagine the Atlantic Division, Clemson, Florida State, and Louisville? How crazy is that going to be?
That's going to be awesome. I mean, you've got, like, three guaranteed good watchable games, provided the talent level stays up, of course, those matchups right there. My thing is, I mean, not just Teddy Bridgewater, but I got to believe that, you know, Charlie is going to get lured away from Louisville by some big bucks and some higher prestige. I don't think that he'll stay at Louisville for very long.
You know, you're probably right, unfortunately. He turned down that money at Tennessee, but you kind of figure, I don't want him to leave it, but you kind of figure it's going to be the inevitable because of what he did at Louisville. And Louisville does have deep pockets now. They do have deep pockets. But
do they have deep pockets for football? I know they got deep pockets for basketball, obviously, because Patino's there. But for football,
right.
I don't know.
I would say this. They got, you know, the dude who founded Papa John's, that's his alma mater, if I'm not mistaken. And the stadium is named after him, Papa John's Stadium.
Yeah, that's true.
And the athletics director, who's a stud, by the way, he actually was able to match Tennessee's offer and then some. So, I don't know. The thing is, we don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, you could be right for all I know. I mean, you know, if he's able to do this at Louisville for so long, other programs are going to come calling for him. That's the inevitable. You're absolutely right about that. You know, I think that I just want to hold out hope that just for the sake of the league, that Louisville will come a way of going to the deep pockets once again, because their budget the athletics budget is one of the highest in the country at $87 million a year, and they never go red. They never go in the red.
Oh, wow.
And which is remarkable. Yeah, I know. The only program I think that rivals Louisville's budget, athletics budget in the ACC is Florida State.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
wow.
That's the only one. That's the only league. That's the only rather team in the league that can rival that. So we're getting that, and we're shoving out the door maybe some tradition, yeah, but a program, a university who cannot get its athletics budget under control in Maryland, and, you know, who's also ran in the conference. So I'm like, just don't let the door hit you with a good little split, you know.
Yeah, right. I mean, cutting out the dead weight.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what I want to pose to you. Okay, we're both pretty knowledgeable dudes in college football. But the Notre Dame factor, Notre Dame is going to play 5 games per year against ACC teams starting next season. Let me ask you the question. Do you think that Notre Dame years down the line is ever going to be going all in with the ACC in football? Do you think that's going to happen?
I mean, I believe the way conferences are shifting and the way TV rights and the big money that goes along with it is making a huge deal. I think it's just going to be inevitable that Notre Dame ends up somewhere. And why not the ACC? It makes maybe more geographic sense for them to be in the Big Ten, but I think that, they had the opportunity to do that, and they really chose, well, they kind of straddled the line a little bit, but more in all the other sports, they chose to partner with the ACC. I think that the fundamentals, especially when it comes to getting the ACC network and the exclusive rights, the money that's going to come in from that, when that deal gets locked in and set in place, I really think that's going to favor and have Notre Dame be a new member, full member of the ACC.
Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those things where the commissioner, ACC Commissioner John Swofford, is going to have conversations with ESPN and NBC. And you know he's having right now as we speak anyway. of how we could get Notre Dame to come all in with us. Okay? It's going to be one of those cases where Notre Dame is going to have to be treated special, more special than everybody else. You know that's going to be the case. And from the vibe that I got from other schools, when they allowed Notre Dame to join in all in other sports except for football, had the 5-game deal, I think that the rest of the schools are more amenable to Notre Dame being treated like a special system, if you will, because they're allowing this to happen. So why you kind of figured by the dictates, why not allow them to be treated special with the NBC contract? So basically, in other words, the ACC school is getting paid a little over $20 million a year. Notre Dame will probably have to be paid from $30 to $35 million a year with the NBC contract in order to be brought in all in. That's just my opinion. That's why I'm not on this assessment on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to have to be some concessions made, a little bit of a funkier setup to accommodate Notre Dame and their faithful following. When you can get a game in a foreign country to be practically sold out, that's a pretty big deal.
That's right. That's right. And I think they have another game overseas this year. I could be wrong. But I think they, just to your point, last year's game was sold out against Navy. Did they play Navy overseas? I forgot.
I think it was Navy, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, Notre Dame sold that joint out on the strength of Notre Dame alone. So, needless to say, I think Notre Dame will get away with that preferential treatment because, like anything else, people do what they do because they can. And Notre Dame can do it because they're Notre Dame.
Right.
And you're not.
I mean,
so,
you're you're going to have to sweeten the pot quite a bit to get Notre Dame to bite fully, you know, because they don't have to, like, the real truth of the matter is they don't have to be in a conference. They can do what they're doing and still exist. It's just going to be really hard for them to, I mean, just from a scheduling perspective, to get the type of quality games that's going to make them relevant in the national conversation without being in a conference.
Right. And that's the thing. So, so let's just play a game of make-believe for a minute. Let's just say Notre Dame, 5 years or so down the line, decides, you know what, it's easy for us to go join the conference, join the ACC. We have a better chance of being in the 4-team or 8-team playoffs in college football. So that would give the ACC 15 teams. So who should be number 16 in that scenario, in your mind? Just off the top of your head. There's no right or wrong answer, obviously.
Right. Well, wow, that's a tough one right there. I mean, you wanna line up. See, the ACC's been trying to match up schools that share the same vision for research, same the same vision, their passion for scholastics, in addition to being a pretty good athletic program too.
Right.
But, I mean, the obvious knee-jerk reaction is to say at a school like East Carolina, right, the athletic programs are just suspect. I mean, they have a decent football team. It's not awful, but it's not great either. And then, like, you know, maybe some of the minor sports that I'm not all that familiar with, they do a pretty good job. But they certainly don't have a basketball team to write home to mom about.
No, they suck at basketball.
Football and basketball are like the two main revenue sports in college athletics. So if you can't come through with at least a passable two, you know, and those two, then I don't know. I mean, that's really tricky right there when you try to think about maybe like a UNC Charlotte, but again, that's another school I don't think I have the funds to keep up with like D1 programs like that.
Yeah. Well, here's my let me give you my pick, and this is very out of the box. So bear with me for a minute. I'm thinking Navy. That's why I'm thinking Navy. Yeah, exactly. This is I told you it's out of the box. But here's why. You know, with Maryland going to the Big Ten, that leaves a gaping hole in along the East Coast, right? There's no team, there's no representative from the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. TV market, right? But living in the D.C. area, I can tell you with 99.9% certainty that people here care as much, if not more, about Navy football than they do Maryland football. And, you know, and Navy doesn't have a basketball team to write home about, but the name of the game is football, right? Football is a money train now. It used to be basketball back when we were in college, but it's now football. And, you know, the thing is that if you get Navy, not only do you get a good academic school, obviously, you get a decent football team, you also get back to the Washington, D.C. market. So so you figure that, you know, that the Big Ten, say if their Big Ten network infiltrates successfully into the D.C. market, if you put in Navy, not only do you get some of that D.C. market back, you also get one of Notre Dame's more traditional opponents. So there's a Notre Dame factor once again. Notre Dame plays Navy every year. So if Navy does that, then, you know, that gives Notre Dame another opponent. So you figure they can't help but want to. It only entices them more, in my opinion. But like I said, it's very out of the box. Very, very, very out of the box. But more or less, I think that the ACC may look towards Cincinnati, towards the Midwest. They have a decent basketball team. The football team looks like they're going to be like a boss of sorts with the way they beat them to do. But the only thing is, UC seems to be a tweener. You know, they're not quite big enough to be with the major programs, but they're not small enough to be with the MAC and all those conferences. So it's like that little go-between there. So that's why I'm leaning towards Navy. That's just my opinion. I mean, it is what it is.
Navy seems like a good choice right there. Did you give any thought to maybe trying to entice a West Virginia to come in?
You know what? West Virginia, I'm glad you said that because, you know, West Virginia's been hammering the ACC in blogs, you know, since during the realignment years, right, during the last realignment summers. They applied to be in the ACC once that round of expansion happened when they took Syracuse and Pitt.
Right.
And West Virginia went it in, but they were turned down by the ACC and the SEC. But I think that is not a bad choice, and I think they may look back to them. But, again, but that would be good for football and decent for basketball as well. You know, Bob Huggins.
Exactly.
And that's what's against Roy Williams and Coach K and Jim Boeheim. But that's not a bad pick. I mean, I just think that Notre Dame will probably have the big say and who will be number 16. That's just what I think. I think that's what's going to happen. But West Virginia is not a bad pick, though. Having said that, West Virginia is not a bad pick. But plus, they could get to reunite them in Pitt again.
Exactly. So you can, you may not have the blessing of Notre Dame with that pick, but you get to have the backyard brawl all over again. So you get that's a conference game, so it's easier to schedule for both schools. From a basketball perspective, now you have UNC, Duke, Louisville versus West Virginia in basketball. That's going to be massive.
Yeah, that's going to be epic. That's going to be freaking epic. You know, I could talk realignment. I could talk realignment all night long, but since we both have lives, we're going to shift back to football. So the two big games, or the one bigger game, the biggest game is going to be Miami and Florida at Miami. I like the used chances. Florida's nasty on defense. We all know that, but they're playing in Miami. Miami looks like this is going to be their breakout year. Duke Johnson's a stud. Steven, I forget his last name. The quarterback is a stud. And I like the used chances. Even though Florida's good, Florida's better team on paper. I like the used chances for an upset.
I mean, Scott, you know, you come up with creative things from time to time, and I appreciate that, but I think you might be stretching the rubber band a little bit too much here. You're trying to think that you are going to
snap.
Yeah, it's going to snap on you there, and that's going to sting when it snaps. Florida's just got too many weapons. They're too good right now for Miami. Miami's only coming.
Yeah.
It's true. But, I mean, you got to – a strong SEC caliber school right there in Florida. And it's an in-state rivalry game on top. Everybody's going to be juiced up for that. I got to give the nod to Florida on that one there, Scott.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. Hey, I'm trying to have high hopes, you know, even though I seem high, but thinking that, but, you know, I'm just saying.
That's like
I may be crazy. I do sound high. But I'll tell you what, I won't be stupid enough to think that Virginia has any shot against Oregon. So you don't have to worry about me being delusional. Oh, Joe touched me on that one. So I'm not even going to bring up that game. Yeah, I'm not going to bring up that game because I know that's going to be an ass-whooping. I don't care if it's in Charlottesville. It's going to be probably an ass-whooping. But I guess credit Mike London, coach of Virginia, for scheduling up, I suppose.
Hopefully Oregon threw some dollars in Virginia's way because that kind of butt kicking right there, you ought to get paid for it.
Yeah, like double the special, right? Even though they're coming to even though they're going to Virginia's place, just double it down. Just give them a parting gift. Give them some swag.
thank you for coming. Have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be a long day for the Cavaliers. I'd be shocked if this game is within three touchdowns. I really am. I'd be shocked if they're within three touchdowns of Oregon.
Nevertheless, Virginia can pull a North Dakota State on somebody, so.
That's true, too. That is very freaking true. That's very freaking true. But, it was a good win that UVA had over BYU, but we're not going to carry that again the next week.
Yeah.
But overall, you gotta love ACC football this season. I like the fact that we made a bit of a statement, even though we won only one out of three games, right, against the SEC. But again, we weren't supposed to win two of those games. So
that's right.
I'm pretty proud of ACC.
Yeah, this looks like it could be like a turning point here for the ACC. You know, the conference is big enough now where we are going to start drawing some national attention. If we can get some teams continuously in the top five, that's going to go a long way to kind of eroding some of that SEC dominance. I didn't say erase. I said erode.
Erode, exactly. You're not going to erase ACC dominance. I mean, the SEC dominance, rather. That ain't going to happen anytime soon. Not as long as you have Nick Saban and company, Les Miles, Kevin Sumlin, Will Muschamp of Florida,
Mark
Rick at Georgia. As long as those cats stay and out-recruit everybody else, there's no way the SEC is going anywhere. But it's all good, though. I just want the ACC to represent and stop being the – I mean, hell, you can't be as good as the SEC, but just don't be at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to college conferences, you know what I'm saying? So that's all I ask. That's all I ask.
You can't be at the top, just don't be at the bottom.
Exactly. All right, brother. Well, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you, like, being cool enough to come back and give it a good old college try once again.
No question about it. Love that you had me here. Appreciate it coming out and, you know, sort of talking the breeze with you. ACC starts off pretty strong right here. It's just a matter of keeping up that positive momentum.
You got it. Hey, go State, man. Go State.
Oh, yes. No doubt. Go Wolfpack.
All right. Peace out, bro. All right. That's my man,
Jason.
Have a good
night. Take care, everybody.
You too. All right. Peace out. That's my man, Jason Harrison. Man's game, coming back to as a makeup podcast, if you will, because of technical difficulties from this past Thursday. So I thank him for that, and thank him for the positive vibes and sharing about and talking about ACC football and a little NC State football sprinkling in there as well. All right, hope you all be able to tune in tomorrow night for the. The NFL preview podcast is going to have four people on the panel: Jen Garrett, author of Move the Ball, NFLfemale.com's Pamela Michelle, Banshee Sports, Rebecca Lutzel, and my man Dwayne Nash from The Yard /HBCU Sports going to be breaking the NFL down division by division. So I hope you all tune in for that. So until next time, this is Scott Burks. This is the Clown Hour. 06. Peace out.